This is a Pinball News production.
Wow. You know, I feel like Derek Jeter. You know, I'm a Yankee fan. I got my Yankee sneakers on. And Derek leads off a lot of times, so I'm the lead off. And I figured, you know, maybe there might be seven or eight people here in the room, and I wouldn't mind if I talked to one or two, because kind of what we're doing is evangelization on pinball again, and we're helping, not alone, but we're helping with all of you and all the whole pinball community, because it really does take a pinball community to build a pinball and to make this game possible. And if it were not for the 1,000 games that are now sold and accounted for, there would be no company. There wouldn't be the guys and girls working very hard to bring you the game that we'll be bringing you. So I'll talk a little bit. We'll take some questions, and maybe I'll talk a little bit more, maybe not. Maybe I have some things to show you that I haven't even seen yet. So it's kind of exciting for me today, too, because I get to see something for the first time, which is kind of cool. And I've been teased by some of my people because I've been very public about what we're doing. Typically in the past, any company that would develop a product where there's competition or where you don't want people to know what's going on would just keep their mouth shut and just do it and then come out with it. So if anybody knows me, first of all, you know I'm not really about secrets. I like honesty and openness and transparency, but I also can't keep my mouth shut. So that's why we've been able to do what we've been able to do. In this next stage of what the company is doing, I'll explain to all of you a little bit more about how it's working. I'm not going to really touch on much ancient history, which ancient only goes back to January 1st when I announced that we were going to start the new company and do The Wizard of Oz. Kind of a lot of that is chronicled on the internet. It's Martin has an unbelievable site, Pinball News. I don't know. Martin, congratulations on your award that you're going to receive also. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guy personally and for pinball, unbelievable resource. I want to first thank Ron Chan and everybody for inviting me here. I got a chance to be in the room last night for a while and play some really great games that I haven't played in a long time, some wood rails that I love, and some electromechanicals that I love, and even some solid state games that I love. And I got a chance to do that, I don't want to say in peace without all of you, but in peace without all of you, because I could get to play those games and take some pictures and look at everything in that marvelous room. And in April of 2010, I was lucky enough to take a trip out to the Pacific Pinball Museum, and then I got to go to the Navy base where all of the games are stored in the warehouse, in the warehouses, I guess all those rooms that are there, the three of them. I got to go to two of them, I think. I was exhausted, so we didn't do the third one. And it's just a marvel to me, all the work that everybody puts into doing this. And what would really be cool is one day if a room like that existed somewhere and you didn't have to take everything apart. And really, people could come and play all of that and enjoy it and maybe attach it. You know, you have all these wonderful people donating collections and donating different games and making sure that it's alive and that it's preserved. But it also is something to show young people, new generations of players, what pinball was in the old days, because there are some games in there I didn't play ever. And it's so nice to see those games and see ideas and see features and things like that and bring some of that back to today. So let me go to the first part of it. I'll just give you an update what's been going on the last month or so. In Illinois, we have a development center. We call it our Midwest campus. Keith Johnson coined that phrase, and it's where all the guys are working. It's a 5,000-square-foot facility right in the middle of Illinois. It's in the middle of nowhere, so nobody could find us, really. You know, it's got like a cloaking device on it, so nobody could really track where it is although it's been reported a couple people were pushing their face against the window there last week. So I don't know how long it's going to be a secret, because some pictures from inside the building were recognized to some people as to where it was. So what are we going to do? We'll have to kill somebody or something like that. It is Jersey Jack Pinball, so. No, I'm only joking. I'm only joking. No. Nobody was harmed in the making of the pinball machine. No, and they want. I think you're right. I think the only one that might be is me. They've really refined a lot of what's going on with the Whitewood. I get a chance to go out there maybe every other week. Up, it's one of you guys calling me. Jeez. Never mind. I'll get that later. They've been refining a lot of what's going on in the Whitewood. And the Whitewood, the video that you saw is really not a game. It's just a ball rolling around, a piece of wood with some things hitting it and moving it around to give you an idea. It's really a game that's coming together with all of Keith's rules and all of us contributing to what we want the game to be. So things were refined already. Some of the shots that always have geometrical challenges, to make them feel smoother, to make the game flow better, and to refine how the game is. We've also added some features to the game that weren't revealed before, and they won't be revealed. They'll be secret. So what we've revealed so far, and as much as we've revealed, honestly, is probably 5 to 8% of what the game really is. The game needs to be here already. I'm honestly tired of talking about the game. I love to talk to all of you, and I know it's a great thing because I'm having a lot of fun with it, but I just rather like the game to do its talking. When you see the game and when you play the game on location or when you play it at home or at a friend's house. So I'm kind of there already because I'm doing it the longest out of everybody in the group. So even though I have infinite patience, and actually one of my coworkers is here today, Russ Pierce, who runs all of our amusement parks in California. Russ, hi. So Russ knows how much patience I have in the company. And it's not infinite, but it's pretty. Is that right? I don't know. Maybe. Okay. So you know, we've overcome some challenges, and I think there are some challenges that didn't happen yet. And one of the challenges we're working on right now is setting up a pinball factory in New Jersey. And this is really a great thing to be doing right now. Remember, we're at a time where the economy is terrible. It's not really technically a recession, even though people lost a lot of money yesterday or today. I don't know what's going on. I didn't lose anything because I'm not selling anything. Buy more Apple stock, everybody. That's going to happen. Things are going to go up. Things are going to go down. Then they're going to go up. Then they're going to go down. That's what happens in life. So it's no big deal. So we're setting up a factory. And the interesting thing is that this December we'll be building, I think it's 5 or 6 prototype games in New Jersey. Those games will go out on location commercially, probably go in a couple of our amusement parks in a public way where we really get to beat the heck out of them and see what's going on with them. Different mechanisms on the game, different toys that have been made. They're in the testing stages right now and tweaking to make them be reliable, because first and foremost, I look at the game as a piece of equipment that needs to go into an amusement arcade. I want it in my basement, I want it in your game room, I want it everywhere it's going to go, but I want it to be reliable. And that's my background as a pinball mechanic that started fixing electromechanical games in 1975. And today as an operator who is involved with a company that operates several thousand games all over the United States in amusement parks and theme parks. And unfortunately, the pinball machines we operate today don't make us any money. In the state of California, Russ, we have how many parks? We have Universal Studios Hollywood. We have San Diego Zoo. We have Six Flags Discovery Kingdom, Six Flags Magic Mountain. We have California Great America. What did I leave out? We don't have it. How many pinball machines do we operate in all those locations?
All 0.
Zero. Okay. So Jack is really not doing his part to operate pinball. And it's not because I don't want to operate pinball. It's not economically feasible for me to operate pinball. I'm better off with a different piece of equipment, a redemption game, or instant win like a crane, unfortunately, to put it in that location. So we'll have to do something about that, and that's what we hope to do. So to go back to the Jersey side of things, we are setting up the factory. So what that means is buying fixtures, setting up assembly lines in the way we would be building a game. So we could go to the videotape and look at what Williams did, or look at what Gottlieb did, and look at what Data East did or other companies did, and we're not doing anything that same way. Yes, there will be people, and they're going to be pulling tools down, and they're going to be screwing things together and putting things together, but even all the people that have been involved in this industry for many years that want to come forward and help us, they can't help us right now because they don't know how to build our game. We are only going to find out when we start building the prototype games, and then we document all of what's involved to build the game and how many steps are necessary and how many people are necessary, how many games a day do we want to build, and how many people are required, how long are they going to spend doing those tasks. And, you know, we do have people that worked at other pinball companies that are going to be helpful. And then there's going to be me who says, well, I don't want to do this that way. I want to do it this way if it's more efficient and we can build a better product. So that's the process that's happening in New Jersey. In a physical sense, I have a 42,000 square foot building. In reality, I probably really should need to use about half of that if I get the lines the way we really want them. We're going to, along the line of doing things in New Jersey, it's not an official announcement, I guess maybe because I'll be recorded. Next year in November, probably the first week of November, I'm going to organize a pinball expo in New Jersey. So what that's going to be is, we're involved in an amusement center. There's a place called iPlay America, and it has a gigantic event center. It's $150,000, 150,000 square foot. I always thinking of money. 150,000 square foot facility. Half of it is a big amusement park under glass. The other half of it is an entertainment and banquet and meeting facility where you could do full-blown trade shows. So I'm going to get on their calendar for the beginning. And by the way, we have a pinballsales.com store in that place, and we're involved with all of the games there as far as setting them up and the servicing part of it and everything like that, because the fellow that owns it, he's spending $28 million, and I've been working on this thing with him for the last, since 2007. So sometimes the seeds you put in the ground take a little bit longer to come up, but I make sure they come up because we don't give up. So we make sure we see them to success. So my thought was, well, we might as well do a pinball show in New Jersey, because there is no pinball show in New Jersey. And there's great hotels there. There's great restaurants. There's a great place to stay. You got the whole Jersey Shore, as you know by watching the TV show. You know, I don't know if we'll get Snooki there, but, you know, I don't know if we want Snooki there. And then, you know, factory tour at Jersey Jack Pinball. So it's kind of a cool thing to do. I can't do it the second week of November because that's when IAPA is the amusement park show typically. Then we get into Thanksgiving. So I don't want to conflict with other shows, so I kind of have to look at it, what I want to do. And, you know, Martin and certainly all the movers and shakers in the pinball industry and Ron and other people, I'm sure there'll be a lot of help forthcoming in organizing and running it and all that. So, again, it's nice to have another event for pinball to make people aware of you know, that there's pinball machines out there again. I'll go back to the Whitewood where I kind of started and got off the subject. So certain things on the Whitewood weren't really shooting well for us. Other people might have said they were good, but we have a lot of critics in the company, and the good thing is that they don't criticize each other in a negative way. They're not fighting with each other. Some people believe that if people fight with each other, you know, you get sparks and, you know, you create things that happen. I like peace. So by them getting along with each other and collaborating with each other and constructively criticizing things that each of them are involved with, we're still on a honeymoon. It's kind of good. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I hope it lasts a really long time. And they have a way about them all as a group where they realize they're all united in one thing. And their idea and my idea is the same, to make the best pinball machine ever made. Now, that's what we have to believe we're going to do. Because if we believe we're going to do this, we're going to do this. If you believe you get in a boxing ring and you think you're going to get knocked out, believe me, you're going to get knocked out. If you think you're going to fail at something, I could tell you, you're going to fail. I have a couple of hundred employees plus that work for companies that I own, and I will tell you that those people need to be positively motivated. They need to have the interest of the customer in mind, that you have fun, because I'm in fun businesses. I don't own funeral homes or anything like that. Sorry, Mr. Jones, somebody passed away. You know, I don't want to be involved in anything that's that kind of negativity. My blood type is B positive. So it is. And believe me, I've bled for the company. Believe me, I've bled for the company. So I could never be anything but positive. I detest negative energy. I don't like people that come around and exhaust you because they tell you everything can't be done. It can't be done, maybe because the right people haven't attempted it, or maybe I didn't attempt it. So people in my life, in personal side and professional side, that have doubted me, thank God, because I give God all the credit, they've been wrong. And it's not because of me all the time either, and it's not because of money. I didn't even do a business plan to put this company together, by the way. I didn't figure out what my bill of material was when I started the company, okay? I didn't figure out what I was going to pay everybody, all right? I didn't figure any of that out. I'm what you call an entrepreneur. So an entrepreneur, in many ways, believes anything is possible. I used to own racehorses years ago. My brother-in-law is a racehorse trainer. And in New York, I own racehorses. I didn't know anything about them, but I have my brother-in-law. So if you want to see the most positive place on the face of God's little green earth, go to a racetrack in the morning. Because on the back paddocks and everything, every horse is secretariat. Every horse can win, okay? And if you want to see the most negative place on the face of the earth, you go to the racetrack in the afternoon. Because nothing worked out there. Even when a horse won, well, I had partners that said, well, the horse won, but he didn't pay enough. Or he didn't go fast enough. Or whatever the problem was. There was always a problem in that industry. So in what we do, we need to maintain a positive attitude. But the positive attitude alone does not ensure success. Okay? It lets us visualize something, which I visualized this game. I could see the game completely done. And I know it's going to be done. And I know the company is going to be profitable. And when I announced that we were doing the first 1,000 games, that would be the Emerald City Limited Edition game, all right, way back in January, how is this guy going to sell 1,000 games? He's going to have people put money, and they're going to deposit money, and he's going to sell games. He never built a game. He doesn't know anything about building a pinball machine at all. And that's going to happen. Guess what? That happened. Okay? So pigs can fly, too. All right? So it happened, we know, for a number of reasons. Yes, it happened because of my reputation. And that's a wonderful thing that I don't take for granted. Because I have your trust and your belief and your faith in me. But it's not just in me. It's in the other people that I brought into the team, starting with Jerry Vanderstelt and Joe Balser and Dennis Nordman and Keith Johnson and all the people that we still have involved in the company. There are several people that work for the company right now that haven't been announced. They just, it's not in their, it's really not in their personal benefit to be announced because it might be politically incorrect in the industry if it's known that they're working for our company, okay? We have two other designers working for the company right now on two other games. That's not announced. But now it is announced. So who are they? I told you I had a big mouth. Okay? So, you know, we have to crawl before we could walk, before we can run, before we can really win a lot of races. And we haven't built a game yet. We've designed the game, and we're kind of playing something that could be a game. But soon enough, we're going to be playing games by the end of the year. And you'll see the progress. We'll take pictures. We'll put them up on the internet. We'll do videos. I'd like to have the factory, when the factory's running, I'll put a webcam up and give you a password, and you can go on there and see the factory running. Because I think that would be kind of cool, too. And a lot of the things we do them because I'm a player myself. So I'm like this kid still, I want to believe, and I'm 53, going on 54. So I'm still feeling like I'm 17 that I got into the business. And it's kind of cool because I'm a player, I'm a collector, and I love pinball. And the game I want to build is the game I want to own and I want to play. The heck with all of you guys. No. But really, it's something that I said before. We want to give you what you don't even know you want yet. Okay? So we want to give you what you don't even know you want yet. And, you know, my favorite example is my iPad. Because I didn't really know that I wanted an iPad until I saw an iPad. And then when I saw it, I said, I have to have that thing. So, and we know what happened with iPads. So is this the iPad of pinball? I don't know. Perhaps. It's a good analogy. Perhaps. I don't know. I love Apple. I love Steve Jobs. It's a great company. So they do some things right. And I'd like to do what they do. I don't want to do things that other people do that are wrong. We're going to do more of the things that work and less of the things that don't work. And that's kind of easy to do. So responding to our customer base, pinballsales.com has been a great company for me and for the people that we sell to. Anybody from pinballsales.com, customers of mine over any of the years here? Yeah. So, yeah, there's a bunch of you. That company has 12,000 customers. And we sold a lot of Stern pinball machines. And we supported Stern. And we did a lot of great things, and they built a lot of great games, and they're going to continue to build a lot of great games. And Gary's in the room. Gary's a friend of mine still. And damn it, Jack. I don't want to take God's name in vain. You could do that. I'll move away when the lightning comes through the roof. But anyhow, some of that is in fun. I'm sure Gary's not thrilled that I started a pinball company. You could ask him about that. Everybody's looking for me to do some kind of soundbite that I'm going to say something bad about Stern. I'm not going to do that. You know, everybody knows what their competitor is, and let the customer decide. If I say I have the best of something, it's not really for me to say and have a belief. We need customers to say they like that and. You know, we're on a honeymoon too, let's face it, because we didn't build anything yet and everybody loves us. So maybe when we build something, somebody's going to say, you know, that, you know, whatever. You know, my job and our job is to make sure you don't have a negative about it. So we have a year warranty on our parts. We did a little teaser last week with a circuit board that's our proprietary design that was designed in-house and designed for future serviceability and ease of service. We keep introducing distributors, and there are a number of distributors that we have not announced, again, because of political reasons. They fear a retribution because, in all honesty, if they come out and say they're selling Jersey Jack pinball machines, maybe they wouldn't be selling Marsupply pinball machines because that's another pinball manufacturer. So maybe they don't want to say that right now until there's real games. So I'm going to take some questions now. From anybody, if anybody has a question. So here's what I'm going to do. I think, just give me your name and state your name, rank, and serial number, and I'll, yes, sir, with the...
Gordon
asked
you that.
Oh, yes, Gordon.
You talked about reliability, which is clearly a key thing. We talked about tournaments. We talked about your show. My question to you is, what are your thoughts about building primary demand for pinball beyond those things?
Primary demand for what? Operators?
Well, for players, which ultimately endows to the operators and the manufacturers. Because when I was a kid growing up in Philly, every store, every corner store, every candy store, every soda fountain, every
right.
lunch counter
right.
had a machine.
Right.
And now the awareness among the broad population is very low. It's just, it's not top of mind anymore.
It's
hard to find a location.
Well, I'm going to go pull something up. I'll relate this to pinball for you. So this is a website of a company that I'm involved with as the president and CEO of Elout USA. This is the operating company. And if I pull up a product that some of you have seen, so this game was a game we first showed at IAPA last year. Okay, it's the Wizard of Oz. And it's a pusher, but it's a pusher done in an unusual way. Typically, a pusher, you go over to it, you put coins in it, and the coins are on the play field, and you got to keep putting coins in, okay? This was a game that existed in Belgium, but not with this theme, okay? So we changed the theme. We changed some things about the game. We brought it to the United States, and we showed the game, and the game is a $50,000 game, okay? Right. So at the show, we had this beautiful booth and so many people in our booth. How many games did we sell at the show?
None.
Correct.
I was hoping.
Correct. None. We sold none. So my partner in Belgium said, well, you know, we're not selling some $4,000 games. I guess we're not going to sell this game either. So the game wound up at Universal Studios Orlando where it was doing okay. It wasn't really doing great numbers. It was doing good numbers for us, but we thought it would be doing better. It wasn't until June when I brought some of these games in and I pushed them out on locations with real people like down the Jersey Shore that the game went out. And that game, the first day at the first location it went to, it did $500 the first day, which is phenomenal. The second day it did $1,100. The third day it did $2,200. And before the end of the week it was doing $4,800 a day. $5,000 a day, ladies and gentlemen, a day. Okay? Now, we sold four of these games, right, Russell? We sold four of these games to one operator, Lucky Leo, Stevie Whalen. Hey, Stevie. He's not here. He's in Jersey, counting his money. We sold four of these games to one location in 5 weeks, and he paid for them, and I flew them in from Belgium on a plane. Imagine, $6,000 air freight. I mean, that's a FedEx bill, okay? And they were paying them. Why wouldn't they pay them? Because the game was making crazy money, and they have a short season. So now these games are going out to other places. You'll see them at Dave & Buster's. You'll see them at FECs. You'll see them all over the place. I have people calling us left and right. All of a sudden, the $50,000 didn't matter anymore because what I wrote about in my columns for years and what I said on that side of the industry is it doesn't matter what the game costs. It matters what the game makes. So again, if we take it back to economics today, and this is not an economics thing, you know, pinball machine is $4,000, let's call it, which is not anymore. And, you know, my famous example that I've been using at these shows is we do still have a Shrek pinball machine at Universal Studios in Orlando, and I looked the other day; it made $19. It's got to get out of there. I got to get it out of there. It just can't stay anymore. We had a Spider-Man and a Spider-Man arcade, and it was doing it in the '50s and sixties, and it was okay. But this game's just got to come out of the location. It doesn't seem to be a relevant piece of equipment anymore in a commercial location. It seems, I don't know because I don't operate any of the later games. Maybe some of the later themes, if we put a Transformers game into the arcade that we have at Universal Studios Hollywood, which is next to the Transformers attraction, I'll let you know at the next time I do one of these what that game is making because it should make some kind of money.
Hi, Dan Miller. I know you, Dan.
So full production right now is scheduled to begin on March 13th, which is Joe Bolse's birthday. So he doesn't know that yet, but now he'll know that. So the plan is this, right? And if it's a month later, a month won't be a month earlier, but if it's a month later or so, I don't expect that. But we obviously, you've been to pinball factories, you know, you need every part to build everything and you got to get everything together. We're going to err on the side of caution because it's the first game and I don't want it to be the company's last game. So we're going to do it the right way. So that's what we're looking at. And again, there will be pre-production before that. So cabinets will be built, assemblies will be done, sub-assemblies will be made, play fields will be coming in, things will be assembled. So I've said it before, I sound like a broken record. It's not like on whatever date it is, I fire a gun and, you know, 50 people start putting pinball machines together and it comes out. You know, it's not that. So we'll have to see. But we'll keep you in the loop. Now, let me ask you a question. When was the first time you heard about this? Yes, when?
In your trip out to California?
April 22nd, 2010. Right. That's when I visited you. That's right. That's right. So, you know, I was thinking about this for a little while. Yeah. I didn't even have the Wizard of Oz license then. It was just a dream. So, yes.
Jeff, Randy.
You're a customer, too.
I am.
You are.
Yeah, thank you. I'm a little unclear if you've really answered this question. As far as operators go, are you going to be doing something different that will hopefully make pinball more profitable for operators, or are you really targeting guys like mini collectors?
Both, but the first question, yes. It will be different for operators. Because when this game goes out, it'll have a presence about it and a play appeal about it that when you see it, you'll have to go over to it and look at it. And if you play it, you're going to have to put money into it again. And that's what happened with this game. Undisclosed surprise. It's called fun. That's what it is. Okay? You know, I own a trademark on something that says our business is fun. And I own that trademark. It used to belong to a company called Whammo that made Frisbees and stuff years ago. Well, I took that trademark. Because our business is fun. What we do is fun, and what we create is fun. And I've said this for many, many, many years. You know, I've used the F word. You know, it's been faith and family and friendship and fun. So those are the four Fs. So if you think of military, somebody got the four Fs. Those are the four Fs that guide part of what we do in our companies. And that's what we have to keep in mind. So if you got value for your money when you played that game, which meant that you had a good experience, and I don't believe we're really in the entertainment business. A lot of people think we're in the entertainment business. I still think of it that we're in the amusement business because amusement is kind of shorter. Entertainment, I'm going to go watch a film, or I'm going to a Broadway show or something like that. Let me entertain, you know, that whole thing. So it's just amusement. Amusement was a casual, quick, you know, you're at a bar and you throw some money in this game because you can't knock down beers all the time. Well, now you can't even go to the bar and drink the beer and you can't smoke your cigarette in the bar either. So what happened to pinball? I don't know. I have no clue. So, you know, you have to put them out in places. And our game, I believe, is going to attract a new audience of players because of what it looks like. Now, this game, when people saw this on, boy, I have some Brooklyn accent. When people saw this, when people actually saw this game, right, they said, oh, what horrible artwork. That game looks like crap. God almighty, I hope the pinball don't look like that. Jeez, unbelievable. I'm going to cancel my order if a game looks like that. Well, you know what, guys? It's not about the artwork. This is a commercial game. So this is artwork from Warner Brothers' style guide that we modified a little bit. You know, Jerry Vanderstelt didn't do that game. I didn't need that. I needed something that appealed to younger people. You got a little kind of psychedelic look. Each side is a different player. You know, you have the top that I wanted it to look like a carousel is what I really wanted it to look like in a location. You know, a physical presence of it. And I wanted the familiar scene of all the characters and everything. And I accomplished that. And we licensed the music. And it has a presence in a location. And when you play this game, it's a lot of fun to play. And actually, with this game, the thing about it is that you get stuff that you trade in for prizes, which does not happen with pinball. It's very difficult to do that with pinball. We had ticket dispensers on games and stuff, and it just didn't work. So it's going to have to be more about the gameplay than winning prizes on a pinball machine. It's not going to be there. Yes, I'm sorry.
Hey, Jack. Joe Scaletta.
Another customer.
That's great. Thank you.
Happy.
For those of us that have the pinball on order, do we expect to see continual updates on the play field and our package and whatnot?
Yeah, you'll go. Well, the playfield art. Well, now that I got your money, why do I need to show you anything? You know what happens when you were dating and then you got married, right? Yeah, you know what happened, right? Well, I don't even want to get into that. We have young people here, you know. I don't want to even get into that. So, you know, in reality, though, no, you will. There will still be updates, and I want to kind of manage them in a way where I don't have Gabe haranguing me on a daily basis. Where's my update? Where's my update? Where's my update? For those that don't know, that don't have a Wizard of Oz on order, there's let me find it. So does this look familiar to anybody? Okay. So we have a Wizard of Oz news group for all the people that ordered Wizard of Oz. And I created this on March 24th because I recognized that sometimes, not often, you may write something on RGP and maybe somebody may say something negative about something once in a while. I don't know. It doesn't happen often. Okay? It doesn't really happen often. But there might be one person that got up in the morning and he didn't get enough sleep or something and he writes something. So what I created was Munchkin Land, okay? So, you didn't get to see the whole... What I created was Munchkin Land in a way because here everybody's at peace. It's just like Oz. Nobody's fighting with each other. Nobody's yelling at each other. And if they do, I delete them from the group. Okay? Because I'm the wizard. All right? So it hasn't happened yet. So in a lot of ways, I understand that anything we say in a quiet way, you know, if I grab you on the side and I tell you something about the game, I'm not going to assume that that's going to stay secret. I'm going to assume that unless I want something secret, I'm going to keep it secret, and I don't even know what I do when I sleep. I could talk in my sleep, and maybe Martin is there. Probably Jim Schellberg is at my bedside trying to listen to something and taking pictures of me while I'm sleeping. Okay? I was blowing my nose last time. He was taking pictures. Jim, don't show that picture. Yep, he's on he picked a bad week to go on vacation, I guess. So anyhow, the releases will still come. Greg writes on the group. Keith writes on the group. A lot of the people write on the group. Joe writes on the group. Everybody writes on the group. And I think the amount of information and the accessibility, everybody that wears one of the Jersey Jack t-shirts, 1-800-473-JACK, rings on my cell phone. So chances are you'll get me. And when I answer the phone, people say, "Who's this?" I say, "Hello, Jack speaking." And they say, "Who's this? Jack?" "Yeah." "Well, you answered the phone." "Right, because you called, right?" So I answer the phone. "What can I do for you?" And it's kind of cute. And people, so you can get me if you need me. And I don't sleep much. I sleep about, I don't know, Russ, 4 hours, 3 hours, 5 hours. I don't need sleep. I don't take any drugs. I'm just high on life and adrenaline and all the fun I'm having. So, yes.
Another question. I think a lot of people here bits of news that they haven't seen online yet or anything you can tell us about the game that hasn't been
Show me the money. What does the witch say? In due time. I guess when it's time for that stuff to come out, it will come out more. If we were doing this in a vacuum, I could show you anything you want. You know, if you want to, I've brought distributors to our Midwest campus already, and they've got an opportunity to shoot the game and things like that. I was thinking about doing that same kind of thing when we do Pinball Expo, but it would get too wacky. We thought about it, but it's going to get too wacky to do. I'll keep that in mind because sometimes I lose fact of that because I know pretty much everything that's going on, and sometimes I assume other people know the same thing I know. So I got to be maybe a little more mindful of that, though, Dan. We'll keep.
How about a quick, one that is displayed in the lower left. Sorry.
Oh, the bumper?
Yeah, but after the alcohol.
Uh-huh.
How's that worked out on the whiteboard?
It didn't work out so good, actually. What happened was the targets were arranged in an S pattern like that, and the action of the ball with that bumper. Now, remember, you lost your ball already. Okay, the action of the bumper wasn't what we all wanted. So that area has been changed. The bumper is there. That's the State Fair bumper that we released last week that Matt did. So kind of like that's the end of the movie. So you lost your ball, and you know, you're going back to Kansas kind of thing. And I wanted it to be an area because I like when I play a game, I just shake the crap out of it. People say I'm cheating. And I got disqualified, right, in the U.K. in a pinball tournament because I tilted. And they should know not to put me on the team. So now they'll know next year. So I like to try to get the ball back up to the play field, up the lane and up this way. And now, in the new configuration that it is, it works perfectly, and there's a lot of action down there. And that's why you make the white wood, and they make another white wood, and they go and they go and they tweak all that, because obviously we know what worked on a drawing doesn't work in real life sometimes. So that changed. And see me after class. I'll show you what it looks like. Yes, sir.
Real quick question. As far as themes go, what's your feeling of licensed versus unlicensed themes?
Everybody would probably remember that I said I would like to do a non-licensed theme. Does that make sense? Theme. Licensed, non-licensed, theme. A non-licensed, you know, a game. Like they used to do in the old days. You could go inside and you see hundreds of games that are really great. That it's bowling, it's cards, it's stagecoaches with Indians and cowboys, and think, God forbid I'd make a cowboy and Indian game today. Probably that would be the end of the world, you know. But you know, there's a lot of things in that room that in today's society are not appropriate, unfortunately. Artwork on Jack in a Box. Okay, enough said. One of my favorite games. You know, so what do you got? Buccaneer shirt? What is that?
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool.
Tomorrow's a different one. Sunday's a different one.
What's tomorrow?
Tomorrow's hit the deck and then serve champ on Sunday.
Okay. I asked. You know, you have somebody comes up to you and they say, how you feeling? And the person actually starts telling you how they're feeling. You know, do I really, you know... I got to hear about, you know, my blood pressure, my this, my leg, my back, my side. It's just a nicety. How you feeling? Just, you know, I do care. I did care what shirt. Now, tomorrow when I'm here, I'm going to check that you don't wear Surf Champ because that's for Sunday. Okay, so don't screw them up. All right, look, listen. I'm going to be looking.
A lot of people in this room don't know me. I'm very anal. I do it the right way.
All right, we're not going to get there right now. We're not going to go there. Did I answer your question even? I don't even know what the question was. Wait a minute. Okay, he was up. Hang on. Don't go nowhere.
Brothers, interactivity on these for the operator and or for the homeowner?
I would love this game to, like, dial a phone and tell you it hasn't been played in a day. And I think that's where we're going with the game. Maybe not the first game. Yeah, you know, Eloud cranes are connected by cell phones,
right.
And the game, there's something called IntelliLink, and we could go on a computer and we could see an arcade and we could see how many prizes were played out of a game and if it got played or if it didn't get played. So let's say the game didn't get played for 6 hours. The game should probably make a phone call to you and say, hey, nobody played me. You know, why would that be a bad thing? I don't know. I think it would be good. Maybe some games with cameras in them, because we have a game called Eclaw, Eloud does, that has a camera in it. So when you win, it takes your picture and it displays your picture up on you know, an LCD in the game. Those things have kind of been done. Marsaplay, which is another manufacturer of full-size commercial arcade pinball machines in the world today, they have a game that takes your picture when you play the game. So, like, at the end of the game, there's a picture of me playing the game up there. So the guy that owns Marshall Place said, hey, cool, I got Jersey Jack playing my game over there. See that? So I thought that was pretty cool, and I saw that in the UK. So there's a lot of things that are doable for not a lot of money, but there are some of these things that are not practical because Keith worked for a company on a lot of internet connectivity for the company he worked for before he came to Jersey Jack Pinball. They found out that even with all the options available to operators to monitor these games online and to have the games report to them information, the operators weren't doing it. They weren't taking advantage of that information or the connectivity part or any of that. So they weren't managing those games that were online. They weren't really looking at it. They were being operators and just going, you know, when they go on every Tuesday and collect the game and say hi to Joe at the place, wherever it is, and leaving. So in a lot of ways, we kind of have to start over with some of this. And it's going to be difficult. And maybe I'm not saying maybe there needs to be new operators, but a game like this certainly with the Wizard of Oz pusher woke up a lot of guys. I golfed with the guys the other day at New Jersey Amusement Association. They would run me for like president right now. I mean, they're all, you know, cheering like, you know, you made our summer. And I didn't make their summer. They made this summer because they believed in the game and they bought it. So that's what made the summer. I could only go so far with it.
Why don't you, could you like make it so that like, you know, everybody's got these smartphones, they've got GPSs, they've got Bluetooth. Make it so that the user could interact with the pinball machine and maybe upload high scores on some website or something and do virtual tournaments.
A lot of those things have been talked about. You know, virtual tournaments, we're talking about that forever. You know, how do you know the glasses on the game? You know, we're going to have some kind of... You know, I know it sounds funny. I know that sounds funny, and I'm not making fun of your question. What I'm saying is this, right? If the glass isn't on the game, it's going to be easier to play. I found that out in 36 years in the industry. You know, so can we tell the glass isn't on the game? Yeah, I guess we could have some kind of barometer, you know, some kind of pressure sensor or whatever, or sound sensor. God bless you. To interrupt. No, but God bless you. I'm sorry. You know, you could have some kind of sensor to gauge sound. I don't know how to do it. You know, some kind of electronics genius would figure it out. You can't just put a switch there that knows that the glass is on the game. And, you know, I don't know. Pinball was always a social thing. You always saw, like, lines of quarters lined up on the game and people playing it. And the competitive nature of me looking at the score and saying, oh, crap, I'm in the fourth place and I got to get a better ball and beat this guy or whatever. I don't know if that... I know it works with video games because I see kids playing, you know, with headphones on and they're playing somebody in China somewhere. I don't know if it translates to pinball. I don't know. Well, maybe we could try it one day.
Bob Connor. You're probably aware of the group that's getting a little bit anxiety about play fields and
issues
with manufacturers who made Twilight Zone reproduction play fields and the problems with that. When you talk to somebody who manufactures play fields or your shop around, do they give you a choice of different qualities of wood or coatings, or do they just say, you know, we have one product and this is it?
There are several great companies that can make play fields today. And Chicago Gaming makes Stearns play fields and cabinets. And there's a company everybody knows, CPR, in Canada. There's another gentleman in Germany, Mirko. There's a couple of other people here and there making play fields. Different grades of wood, different formulas for the wood, what the wood is, the hardness of it. People talk about dimples and non-dimples and old wood, and you can't find the old wood because the old wood is gone, and the new wood, nothing today is any good. Even the wood today is no good. They're not growing trees like they... Come on, give me a break with some of this stuff, okay? That's not true. You run your car into a tree and see what happens. I'll tell you what, that damn tree is going to be harder than your car, okay? So you know what it is? It comes down to this. If I could get it out of my pocket. My wallet, okay? That's what's going to determine how good the game is, how much I want to spend. Do I want it to be really great and be something wonderful and last forever, or do I want it to be just good enough? That's the only excuse it comes down to. It's finance. It's how much money it's going to be. Since I never figured out what the game is going to cost me, what the heck do I care what it costs? I don't care. Now, let's talk about Mirko for a minute, because he made those Twilight Zone playfields. I don't know anything about them. I got a couple of them to see what they look like. And remember that anything you make again, if anybody bought an old house like I did when I first got married 28 years ago, we ripped the house apart and rebuilt it. And believe me, I got some education. It was a lot of fun. I was newlywed. We didn't have a kitchen, so my wife didn't really care about cooking. But she made up for it in the following years. So it would be better to just knock the house down and build another house. So if Mirko or CPR or anybody else creates something new for us, nobody could compare it to something. Well, it was purple over there, and now it's not the purple. It's the first time. So it's all new. Okay? Mirko has been a customer of mine for 10 years. All right? He's a friend, like many of my customers become friends. Mirko doesn't want my money. That's great. That's a wonderful thing, because I don't want to pay him in euros. I don't want to give him $1.35 right now, and euros down. What if by the time this guy makes playfields for me, euro like 158 with this crazy economy? Mirko wants games, because Mirko believes when he gets the game, it's going to be $11,000, $10,000, $9,000, $12,000. So guess what? He's making the playfield for a game that he's going to get. But not a game. A lot of A games that he's going to get. And when he called me the other day and we talked about some things, I just said to him in the easiest Brooklyn way I could tell him, listen, any bad play fields you get that you send me, be rest assured they're going to be in the games I send you. That's how I roll. So let me tell you something. The greatest play fields ever known to man, woman, beast, child, or Martian will come out of Mirko all of a sudden. Now, the thing is this. When will they come? Now, not that it's going to be delayed, but I'm going to go to Germany probably in the next month or so. Maybe 6 weeks, somewhere 7 weeks, 8 weeks, 9 weeks. I don't know. What shirt will I wear? I don't know. But I will tell you, I'll be there when he's doing some of his stuff, when he runs the first ones. And I'm curious about it, what he does, because it's a very high-quality product, and it's a very expensive product. So I could get a product that's made down here, and it's good enough, or I could get a product that's made up here, and it's what I like for me. And I need to have a perceived value for that product that we're getting our money's worth, because I just don't want to pay for something that's not worth it, okay? So know that every part in our game, we're treating with the same way, same with the company that would do our cabinets and anything. And we're not going to use Chicago Gaming, because Chicago Gaming is doing Stern stuff, and I don't want to cause any more problems than I already caused in the world. Yes.
Yeah, hi, Michael Sheets from the Pacific Commander.
Hi, Michael. How are you?
Just wanted to offer you a showcase to one of your people who come off the line.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a good idea. That's a good idea. That would make a lot of sense. Okay. We'll see if we could do that. Russ, I guess you could be making trips up here. Yes, sir.
Harry Finch. Hey. Have you or your team done any reviewing or research into any of the composite alternatives to wood?
No, not really. I know Mike made some games out of plastic back there that are awesome, unbelievable amount of work. I mean, unbelievable to educational and really cool thing that you've done with those three games. Amazing. We haven't, because here's why. I don't want to go so non-traditional, especially with the first game, to be like off the chart. I'm not trying to do something like Pinball 2000 or something really wacky where somebody's going to look at it and say, you know, what's this, what is this? You know, years ago we did a game that was a Shuffle Alley game, and it had a play field that was made by a company in Canada, and they did a printing process, and it was underneath a coating, and people slide these really heavy pucks along that thing all day long. And that game, those games were built in 2003 and 2004. There were 500 games. We never got one play field back that was worn out. So you would think that I would say, okay, well, let me go find that company in Canada. Let me make them make play fields. The way the ball rolls on some of these games, and some of you people might have them, for me personally, the really high-end finish that they have on those games, and they look beautiful, they're museum pieces, I don't like to play them because the ball doesn't roll. The ball gets a lot of backspin, and it glides along, or whatever it does. I don't know what it does. But the people that have them like the game, so who the heck am I? But maybe there might come a day where we use some different materials for the cabinet, perhaps. Dennis has some designs that look really cool for alternative kind of cabinets, like futuristic plastic or fiberglass, things like that, that may be something that would lend itself to some kind of game that we do in the future, maybe some futuristic or something like that. So I try never to say never, because it keeps me out of trouble most of the time. Yes?
Kevin. I have a question. If, I don't know if you can share or what, but the ratio between the collector community versus operator, what are you seeing coming in for purchases?
On this game?
On this game.
Okay. So out of 1,000 games, we're probably looking at about 40 games that were bought by operators right now. That's funny. This is not really an operator game if you think about it, because the first game is more expensive than Wizard of Oz. So when we do Wizard of Oz and it's not Emerald City Limited Edition Wizard of Oz, you're talking about a game that's $1,000 less. So that's $1,000 more in an operator's pocket. But I would tell an operator, I would show them the example of the Wizard of Oz pusher. It didn't matter what it cost. So if an operator bought this game and it was the $1,000 more than Wizard of Oz, he's going to more than make that up in the collection box. And I say that, I sound silly saying that, because we don't have a game and we don't know the earnings and we don't know all of that. What we do know is our experience as operators and my experience doing this 36 years. Most of the time when I look at something or I play it, and that's why we go to shows, you could tell a good from a bad. You know, what's going to make money on location and what's not going to make money on location. And you can see the reaction of people at shows and things like that, and that's why people go to shows. And with all the operators that bought the game, I also included for those people a Mars bill acceptor on the game, because the game should be able to take physical money. I don't have any change on me, and probably not many of the people that want to play pinball have change on them. So I don't really see a need other than for historical reference to have a game that has coin slots without a bill acceptor. And actually, the games that we're setting up at iPlay America, everything has embed card readers. So there's not even any tickets come out of those games. We eliminated tickets there. So people are going to more cashless, you know, coinless, just like take your phone and bump into it, which is something that we'd probably do on this game too. Maybe not the first game, but in our plan, it would be the easiest way to get your money into the game and establish yourself with the game and start playing. The easiest way. And some of that's going to come from your mobile device, your cell phone or whatever, too, in the future. So you have to take that stuff.
I have a question about you're monitoring the website, and I know you get a lot of suggestions about ideas. I think you're very patient with them and say it's a good idea.
How do you know that?
I read your response.
Okay.
So I'm curious, have you gotten any ideas? Have you read, this is a two-part question, have you read ideas there that you thought to incorporate? And have people hit ideas that you wanted to keep secret, and you just don't comment?
Yeah, you know what the funny thing was? Those are two good questions. And the funny thing was that I was amazed that nobody figured out the game was a wide body. That blew me away. And at a show, I think it was Seattle, somebody asked me point blank, was the game a wide body? Because right? I know. You know, Richard asked me a question, if it's a wide body. He bought two games. And, you know, he drove up how many hours to be at that show? only 14 hours. Richard Harvey, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Kerry Richard, that's right. Sorry, Kerry, that's right. I had it backwards. Kerry Richard. So Richard Harvey's another guy, not you. So he said to me, is it a wide-body game? And I said, listen, I'm starting a new pinball company, okay? I don't know anything about building a pinball machine. Let's put that in quotes. And I'm starting a new company, a new game, and I'd be crazy to build a wide body as our first game. And everybody laughed. So I didn't actually lie, say no. You know, I just kind of like, yeah, I am crazy. My wife will tell you that. I am crazy. But you got it, we're all crazy because we're all into pinball and we all love this. And this is not anything bread or milk or anything that we really need to survive. This is the trademark saying of pinballsales.com is we sell everything nobody needs. And when I say that to customers, they laugh because, yeah, nobody needs that, but we want it. So some suggestions have been great. But just like now I understand why artists don't accept songs from people that send songs into them. They send Bruce Springsteen, like, the greatest song in the world, and Springsteen sends a thing back saying, yeah, thanks very much, but I'm not doing that, you know. And it don't happen. So some of the ideas have been great. Some of the ideas have been absolutely ridiculous. I mean, when we write the book about this whole thing, how we did it, you know, like in Young Frankenstein, you saw that big book that said, how I did it, you know. So when we write that book, you know, some of these things we're going to get permission to try to include, because there's no such thing as a bad idea. Everybody believes their ideas are great. But what I sensed from those ideas was a lot of passion of people that were wanting something that wasn't there for a long time. And I respectfully answered everybody or called everybody, because they spent their time and their energy and effort writing that. The least I could do is spend my time answering them. And there were a couple of things that people guessed at also that haven't been disclosed. And they wrote in there, you have an idea now. So,
There's one where I noticed you
What was it?
You didn't respond to it regarding the crystal ball, which I think exists in Lord of the Rings, and it's very interactive. Right. Was there a reason?
I might have missed it. That might have been a silly one, but I might have missed. No, you know, we do have a crystal ball in the game. And what about it?
It's
going to light up, as far as I know. We can't. We can't light it up being clear, because we lit it up and the light goes right to the ceiling. So we have to frost it and light it up and make it change some colors and stuff like that during different modes. So there'll probably be some color modes, and then the light, that crystal ball will respond to what color mode you're in at the time. And that'll also interact with the witch, the melting witch. And it's going to be a time sequence kind of thing too. Because remember, you know, Dorothy was up in the witch's castle, and that famous hourglass was turned upside down. So you might have like a hurry-up mode or something like that, where you have time to complete something before the time runs out in the hourglass, or you know what happens then. You know, all hell breaks loose. So, you know, there's a lot of those things that this is such a great property because it's very deep. And every time I watch that movie, I still find something else that I didn't know about, and I'm still learning more things. So it's kind of cool. We try to incorporate all those things in the game. Yes?
Yeah, is there anything you can tell us about what's going to be on the LCD as far as movie clips or original animation? Or, I mean, I imagine that the rules are going to be crazy.
So what's going to be on the screen? Movie clips, animation, what else? Score?
Can you do something like checklists of goals, or maybe once you complete something, there's a list of things that... You know, you're this close to a wizard mode or something.
I guess so. That makes sense. I guess so. Let me write that down. Hang on, I got to write this down. Well, there's other people in the room taking notes. Yes?
Hey, Justin Kelly. Hey, question for you, man. The two titles that you said are in the works from unnamed designers, have those already been themed, or are those still just kind of blank slates?
One designer brought me a complete game done without artwork or programming. Wheeled it into our office. Done. Play it. Do you like it? Yes. Do you want to do it? Yes. Yeah. That's very cool because it wasn't a bunch of lines and circles on a piece of paper. So that could be game number two. That game could skip ahead of Dennis's game or not. I don't know. Dennis is very passionate about doing some kind of Elvira. And that was Elvira's husband there. Elvira. I like Elvira. Okay, get that pinball machine. Everybody in this room that has a pinball ringtone, raise your hand. Everybody that has a pinball ringtone. Okay. Okay. So they want to do a game that involves zombies and Elvira, and maybe I shouldn't talk about this, but you know, all that kind of stuff brought together, and she's been great, and she wants to be involved with us, and she announced that, I think, on that Spooky Pinball podcast, maybe to put some pressure on me, or maybe not, I don't know, but you know.
You get inappropriate if you make that game.
Can we get this guy a microphone? You know, actually, maybe we could make a mode where it's an inappropriate mode. You know, I have a Family Guy home, and it's a great, great game, but it's just not a family theme. You know, and actually, I don't know if anybody, there was a Silver Ball podcast, if anybody caught that, where Rob was more interested in asking me, Rob was trying to get me, I don't want to say this way, but Rob was trying to get some kind of stern soundbite from me in some way, shape, or form to say something, and I had nothing but good things to say. So if you want to listen to that, it's a pretty cool podcast. It's about an hour, the Silver Ball podcast with Rob Craig. He's back doing that, which is kind of cool. Who else? Anybody else? Yes, sir. Yeah, Chris, how are you?
All right. What about continued code after the game, like, delivered? Would you encourage the guys to, like, keep refining?
Yes. You know, if we don't want to send something out that's incomplete. That's, you know, this is a hallmark of a programmer like Keith, where he's a player and his name is attached to it. He's part of the company and, you know, in this brand new company. He doesn't want to create something that's not complete. So I really don't think you're going to get a game that has incomplete code and then we're going to go back and go back. And, you know, as I said that, the thing fell off the wall. I don't know. Somebody did an incomplete tape job. Thank you for that. Very good. You know, that's the thing. If everybody would just do what they're supposed to do in this world, we wouldn't need a police department. We wouldn't need prisons. We wouldn't need anything. Just people did what the heck they were supposed to do. The problem is that they don't do what they're supposed to do. They want to do what somebody else is doing. It's a problem. So I don't think Keith is going to do anything where it's not complete. Maybe he's going to come up with some things later that get added in. But remember, he started working on this whole thing and all the infrastructure of it and everything in you know, like in February when he came into the company. So if we're talking about building real games in March, you're still looking at like 5, 6, 7 months from now that I think he spent, you know, 6 months doing The Simpsons or whatever. So, you know, if he was able to do that with a game like Simpsons, he did Lord of the Rings. We know everything Keith did. So I think we're going to have a, you know, a real good game. Who else? Anybody else have a question? Yes.
Yeah, I saw your T-shirt with those Oz pinheads.
Okay. So this is an interesting fact, and I could probably pull this up a second. So let me do this. Okay. I wanted to give you the full name. Maybe it'll come up again. Hang on. Maybe we'll have to Google it later. What it is, it's actually the Wizard of Oz. It's his full name. So his name is like Oscar, Zoroaster. It's all of these names spells out his name. And to shorten it, they just called him Oz. And his name spelled out this way is Oz Pinhead. Go figure. Go figure. Okay? So it wasn't some kind of statement of me saying, you know, I'm an Oz Pinhead. That's actually his name, which is another kind of funny twist with this whole thing. I don't know. You know, there were 17 books written by L. Frank Baum, and there were another 5 books written by other people about Dorothy and Oz and all of this. There's even a character called Jack Pumpkinhead, okay? And Jack Pumpkinhead he flies on a sawhorse, and his head, he picks it from the garden, and he's as smart as how many seeds are in his head at the time. And then it rots, and then he's got to go to the field and get another pumpkin and put it on his head. So I don't know how many seeds I have right now. But, you know, I'm going to be smarter tomorrow than I am today. So it's really cool. There's a Wizard of Oz. There's a Dorothy of Oz movie coming out next year, which is an animated film. And, like, Patrick Stewart and I think, you know, one of the Belushis and a whole bunch of people are involved. There's another movie with James Franco coming out about the Wizard. So Wizard of Oz stuff is really... it's really alive. And last week, if anybody saw, I think we did a release on it or it was on our site, there was a big convention in Chesterton, Indiana, that some of our people went to. My daughter Jen went, and Katie went, and Larry went, and Larry's daughter, Larry works for us in Jersey, his daughter won the Dorothy contest. So she gets a float next year. So 40,000 people were there. And we had our distributor there, Jesse Trueblood, and he sold 2 games at the fair, too. So those are people that were not pinball people. They were Wizard of Oz people that now discovered pinball. So anybody? Yes?
We are Oz Pinheads from Australia.
Oh!
You got any of those shirts?
There you go. And you know what? I'll get that for you. You know, we have a crazy distributor down there, David Steen. You know David? Bumper action. David came up. He spent about a week with me. And after he went back to Australia, he went in the hospital for a week. It's true. I ran him around so much that the poor guy had to wind up in the hospital. So he's our exclusive distributor down in Australia. They've sold more than 100 games at this point. So they're doing a great job for us. And Dell, you know, he's like a legend. So, yeah, well, shoot me an email and Jen will get you some shirts. Anyone else? Oh, what is it?
Oscar Zor.
Let me see. That's good. It's good that we have a whole research. This in from our crack research department. So, Oscar Zoroaster, Fadig, Isaac Norton, Henkel, Emmanuel, Ambrose Diggs. Okay, that's a fictional character in the Land of Oz. Created by American author L. Frank Baum. So his name is shortened. So who would know that Pinhead, Oz Pinhead, that's what all the people will be when they get their Wizard of Oz pinball machine. So anybody, yes?
Oh, you were saying your sugar over there sold 100 of them?
Yeah, he wants more. He's at about 89 or 88. He's close to that. There's no more games for him.
How's triple sales kind of break down between the United States versus other countries?
Other countries. So there's, let's say out of 1,000 games, 700 games went to the United States. Okay. So that's what went to the United States. And part of it is also we have some other people in other countries that want to buy our game, but the game sold out. So I don't want to start taking orders for Wizard of Oz right now when we didn't build this game, but I could. So in the UK, we have a distributor that is going to be ordering Wizard of Oz because he was only able to get like 1 or 2 Emerald City limited editions, and he has customers that want it. So we'll have to sell them. If they want them, we'll have to sell them.
Yeah, tell what your company number is.
Johnny Norman. This guy, when he calls, everybody in my building scrambles when they see his name on the caller ID. It's like nobody wants to. Hey, Johnny's a great guy. He's a friend. He's a big supporter. Tell you what. Oh, what is it again? It came from Butch, right? Jack of all trades, master of fun. Right. that he came up with that. And we trademarked that. You know, so that was kind of cool. Everybody still feeds me the Jack line. So he came up with Jack of all trades, masters of fun. I thought that was kind of cool. So what else? Anybody got anything else? I guess maybe I should see what's in these tube rolled up. What time is it? Who comes in here next? I have 10 more minutes. Well, it's too bad I can't show anything else. So, you know. All right. Let's see what I got. I haven't seen this yet. And that's true. Don't take pictures of this. Don't put this on the internet. I don't want anybody telling anybody anything about it. Right?
No, we don't have any phones to take pictures.
So let's see. So, you know what I'm going to do? I'll leave these up here. I'll tell you what. I'll leave them up here. All right? And you can come up after and you can take a look at them. Wow, that looks really nice. Okay, all right. Bad lighting here. I don't know if you can make the lights brighter, but this one. In front of the projector. All right? This way you can't take a picture.
There you go.
Look like you're working on one of the corners with the signs. Just take a video of it.
Not cut and paste. You know, Jerry Vanderstelt is amazing, and people say, you know, what the heck is with this guy? How does he do this? I'll tell you a funny thing. Last week at the Wizard of Oz festival last week, my daughter said, like, a little kid came up and was critiquing the artwork, and the kid realized that something about the artwork was something that was created from three different witches. And my daughter was kind of blown away because she knew that, and she said, it's amazing to be honest to a license and to really reflect it the right way, the level of work that you really need to go to, that you have somebody that's a real fanatic, a fan, a collector of something, to recognize that. And she thought that was really cool. So that was like a real compliment for Jerry for what he's done. I have some T-shirts. I don't know that I have something for everybody. I know. They're there in that box, right? I know. Don't get nervous, Johnny. I owe Johnny a couple of shirts before everybody grabs them. And I owed another shirt to somebody. I'll give you the shirt off my back, literally, you know, but it's probably smelly. So anyway, we'll have some shirts afterwards. If anybody has any other questions for me, certainly I'll take them afterwards, or you can email me, you could call me, whatever it is. And, you know, I just want to thank everybody, really. I want to thank everybody for your confidence in the company and in me, your support of pinball in general. You know, what you're doing here is really spectacular, and I really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.